Welcome to the podtech.net info talk. We're here on the phone with Podzinger in Massachusetts with the CEO, Alex Ladd. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks for having us.
You guys are making a lot of waves with an amazing search engine, media engine, audio engine, obviously PodTech with podcasting. We know all about you. Now you're doing video. Talk about what you're announcing, and then we'll chat about the product.
Well, so what we've added to Podzinger is a new video user interface, which makes it possible for people to search either in audio or in video, and then or both, and retrieve content with the same Podzinger benefits of getting right into the words in the content. But now, if you have a video result, you get to click right into it, watch the video from the Podzinger user interface, or do all the other things we've talked about, like download or subscribe.
Video's hot right now. I mean, Google's all over the video since CES. Are you seeing that as a big driver to that, or just the market wants video?
Well, yeah, I think the market wants video. It excites people for a couple of reasons. Well, it excites a lot of different people for different reasons. The consumer just loves video. Video is mesmerizing. I guess that's why TV is so powerful. And yet, it also, seems to scare the heck out of, out of the major content providers, because as they see video moving online and they see it being accessible using RSS, now all of a sudden they say, wow, we got to be there. And so I think audio is very disruptive, but video kind of really makes it disruptive.
Talk about Podzinger and how you guys came about. Obviously, everyone and their mother has been trying to do audio and video search, and obviously you're now just doing video search, so you've been working on it in the labs for some time, but you really kind of hit the beach here with the audio and knocked it out of the park. Talk about some of the things that you innovated on. You have this idea of indexing. Talk about what you guys kind of came through with this product.
Well, to get here was requires a kind of some deep roots. I mean, I run Podzinger as part of BBN Technologies, which goes back 30 years in speech recognition. It's a big problem to be able to solve, to be able to take words from audio and video in all kinds of different speakers and all kinds of different content. And we can do that as a result of some really hardcore research and development that's taken place within the last 5 years under government contracts, trying to solve this problem, which was previously unsolved. We've then taken that technology and brought that to the world of online content, both audio and video, and Podzinger focuses on RSS-based content because it's so easy for consumers to access it, download it or subscribe to it, and then sync to your iPod. But the thing that differentiates us is that we have the ability to take the words that you and I are speaking and convert those words into text, and not just text by itself, but text that is tagged in a way that allows us to know every timestamp for every word, so that when somebody does a search and finds the word Constantinople or Cape Cod, in a few hours that'll be on Podzinger, we can search for those words and then go to exactly that location in the audio where those words appeared. So the access that it provides to the words that were otherwise dark space is what differentiates us from anybody else that's doing video or audio search.
How do you make the audio search kind of coherent for an average user? I mean, obviously, as more people start using the media, and we're in a media 2.0 environment, people are always connected. You got iPods, mobile device, mobility is a big thing that I've been talking about with Intel and others. How do you get the average now web user engaged from a user interface standpoint? What did you guys do, and what are you looking at that you're innovating around there?
Well, it all boils down to having the words again, because if we have the words in text, then a user can show up to a place like Podzinger we'd love for you guys to put our search box on your site, and so that people can go to PodTech and then they search inside of PodTech and people know what to do. They know how to put a query into a box. Then, because we provide people with snippets that show the words in the audio, people also know how to really quickly skim the results. It's kind of like this is our Google training. I mean, we've been Google trained for the last, 8 years. My kids, who are that old, have been Google trained since birth. So we know how to do this. It's part of our culture now. So we bring that to audio because we have the text. Then we're trying to make it really simple. I mean, with our player that we have with every result, we make it so that you can just click and play and go right to that location. You don't have to worry about audio formats or video formats. If you decide you like it, you can subscribe by just hitting a single button and going to iTunes and going to the subscription page on iTunes or on Yahoo. And if you want to download it from the originator's site, we provide the download button, which takes you to the content on the originating site. If you want to even, and if you really fall in love and you want to know more, you click on the titles and then you get to the originator's site from that point. So we've tried to make something which kind of feels techy to a lot of people, you know, as simple as the kind of Google that they've already grown up and know how to use.
And you guys can go inside the content and get the keywords. I mean, someone types on PodTech or a keyword or, you know, that they want, it actually goes inside the audio.
That's exactly right. In fact, I was on the PodTech News podcast inside of Podzinger, and I was looking for every mention. I want to see when was iTunes mentioned. And so, you can't capture everything in your show notes. And so, sure enough, I found all of the Steve Jobs Macworld keynote speeches, and I found exactly when he was talking about iTunes in those keynote speeches. I found several of your interviews where iTunes was mentioned, and sometimes it's at 12 minutes into the podcast, sometimes it's at 6 minutes into the podcast. But the point is that without being able to see those and click on them, you don't have that kind of access. So that's what people want, and that's what makes it so simple and kind of, fun.
People love to deep search. I mean, that's Google's kind of trained people to go 15 pages in on search results. I mean, people love to deep dive, and you guys made that possible by getting those keywords and displaying them. But talk about from your standpoint now as you grow, obviously, great product, great user interface. It's always innovating. You got video around the corner. How do you work with the ecosystem that's developing out there? Obviously, I'm a podcaster. I'm building a network of properties, other podcasters, other audio and media developers. How do you work with them? Obviously, you want Podzinger on the site. What are the things you're doing?
Well, what we're doing is we actually are encouraging all podcasters to register with us. There's kind of a fair deal here. We when people register with us, we process the content into the text index for free. For the consumer, we're trying to make it so they can find the stuff they want. Okay, so the content is in the text index, and then what we do is we say, look, the second thing we do is we say, okay, once you register with us, here's a search box that you can put up on your site also for free that allows your users who come to PodTech or whatever podcast we're talking about, and do searching inside of PodTech right from there. The other thing that we do right now is that anyone can save searches that are within a single podcast or within a broad range of podcasts as Podzinger RSS alerts. So more and more people who are podcasters or bloggers, are now saving Podzinger RSS alerts, which are like live searches on topics. So what that allows you to do, like if you typically blog on a number of topics, you can keep posts, these RSS alerts on your page, which are then crawlable by, all of the bots, the Googles, the Microsofts, the Yahoos, everybody that's out there, so that your content becomes even more findable through that. So that's all part of the fair deal. Now, where this goes is that as the Podzinger traffic grows, we do think that there's a significant opportunity. The really great podcasts will separate themselves, their traffic will grow, and then there's a real opportunity for us to have the aggregated selling power of all of these podcasters to really draw that, those advertising dollars that are currently going to broadcast radio and television and draw them into this new medium. And then share that revenue with the podcasters themselves. So, now we're just beginning to experiment with advertising, and we're using Google Ads. That barely even is the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I mean, you put it there as a placeholder, and it's lunch money for you guys. But search, everyone knows, is key to the user interface. People are becoming search is part of everyone's life, and you guys have a great product. Talk about BBN technologies. I mean, that's a whole generation of people on the internet now don't even know what BBN is. I mean, I know a lot of the history, and you go back, I was just reading Network World celebrating, 30 years in the industry and looking back. Talk about where you guys came from, because it is pretty important, the background of the company.
Yeah, it's really important because without the deep roots of technology, you know, this is too hard a problem to, for a startup just to do. So, you know, BBN goes back to 1948. It was an MIT spin-out before we really even talked about spin-outs, right? And it was two faculty members and a graduate student. And they started, their very first project was to do the acoustic design for the UN General Assembly Hall. And that and they started as an acoustics and applied physics business, and they did some incredible things in that area. The, BBN is the ones that analyzed the shot from the grassy knoll. There's the guy here still at BBN who has had those results locked up in a safe, you know, that he didn't want Oliver Stone to get. BBN analyzed the missing minutes on the Nixon Watergate tapes. And then BBN also is famous for starting up the first ARPANET nodes, which became the internet back in 1968, sending the first email, inventing the @ in email, having the first multi-protocol routers before there was IP routers. So, you know, this place has always done things that otherwise hadn't been done. And, you know, Podzinger is actually a great example of that because we've done with the technology that underlies Podzinger was created because the government said, we have a major problem with all this audio and video content that's out there in the world, and we can't search for it, we can't make heads or tails of it, and it's in all kinds of languages, you know, and this was all after September 11th, so it's in Arabic, it's in Chinese, it's in, you know, English. How do we get this? BBN, help us solve this problem. And, you know, to the credit of, you know, this is not, you know, this is obviously not me, but to the credit of the kind of the R&D guys here at BBN, they really have solved a problem that that previously was considered, you know, very, very difficult. So, you know, that's how the BBN connection really ties in.
Culture of geeks, culture of innovation, pioneers. I mean, the ARPANET and people back then scratching their head, what is this thing for? And obviously now it's history.
That's right.
Podzinger is blazing the trail. Talk about the video solution now. And obviously everyone's been watching Google fumble through their offering since CES. You know, is it going to be, you know, basketball games, you know, right after the day? I mean, they're experimenting, and everyone's in this learning environment. Talk about what you guys are seeing and some of the innovations that are happening and that are around the corner as well.
Yeah, you know, since we're focused with Podzinger on RSS-based content, the total range of video that is in that format today as you know, video podcasts, vodcasts, vlogs, whatever you want to call them, That total amount of content is relatively small right now as compared to the range of video content that's out there on the web. But what makes it different is video on the web is hard to find. It's in all kinds of different crazy formats, you know, and so and search is limited only to the text-based title and summary information that the author may or may not associate with it. So even if you can find it, the formats are really, you know, not user-friendly. So what the combination of our search capability, which brings you right to the words in the video, as well as RSS, which allows people to really make content more available in an easy format for download, is kind of changing the game. So what we've seen is that we're seeing a very significant increase in the amount of video podcast content out there. Some of it is just, you know, podcasters who've been doing audio podcasts for some time who now have a video podcast. So there are quite a few video podcasts which are kind of two guys with laptops sitting on a couch, you know, in front of a video camera. But there's also the big guys with kind of the big power content like ABC News and the like, you know, have said, if we don't move into this realm, then we won't catch the advertising dollars when they go there. So we're, you know, a couple weeks ago, ABC World News became a freely available video podcast. NBA has a video podcast. MTV, VH1, you know, Reuters. Many of the big guys have gotten into this space too. And I think what's going to happen is that people will move, you know, their archives of content as well as their newly created content into this format. And you know, as that happens, search is just, you know, a necessary thing to help people find the stuff they want. And man, it does range the full gamut. I mean, I found a great series on yoga. I can have all the yoga classes I'd ever want by going to this guy's site called Yoga Amazing. So, you know, that it goes from there all the way to technology to fashion. You know, I get great shots of Terry Hatcher at all of the most recent award shows. So,
what's your advice to developers out there? I'm calling them media developers, people who are amateurs or pros trying to use a new the new infrastructure, if you will, because obviously what you're providing is a great service, obviously, on how you can roll up media and index media and present media. Talk about, you know, advice to them, and as they go out and start developing, how can they leverage Podzinger?
My advice is the first thing is to participate in this world. Does require that you have to open up. You know, it is the case that sure, everybody needs to have a business model, but you know, providing some, the people that seem to be very successful right now from a video perspective and an audio perspective are those that provide at least large samples of their content available for users on a free basis, which they then make available for a search by registering with Podzinger. So you have to participate in this world of kind of RSS connectedness in some way, and realize that that's one of the big advantages here. That's the real reason why you want to do this, is because you want people to find your content. So posting it as RSS improves the likelihood of it being found. Having a service like Podzinger where you can register your content, which then makes it searchable, also improves your likelihood of it being found. And if you do these things, opening it up with RSS and opening it up by making it searchable with Podzinger, then the cream will rise to the surface, because people that search for and find and then like content will kind of make that content more valuable and more susceptible to advertising dollars and alike. Without opening it up using RSS or making it searchable, you might as well call it quits, even if you're ABC.
Yeah, you can't hide behind any kind of walled garden anymore. It's all about sharing and openness.
Absolutely.
And certainly at PodTech, we will immediately start getting involved, because you guys have a great product and looking forward to it. Final word for you. Next couple of years, what's around the corner for Podzinger and the industry? What do you see happening?
Well, we think that we really want to open up the content to other languages as well. Part of the value of I like to tell people that broadcast audio and video is now a subset of your audio and video entertainment options. Several years ago, that wasn't true. And since it is in English, it's a subset. In other languages, audio and video that's available via broadcast, television, radio, cable, is even a smaller subset of what's out there. So over time, we're going to be opening up more and more languages. Just, we're not announcing it yet, but the kind of the sneak peek is that the next language will be Spanish. And there's a huge amount of content out there, especially here in North and Central America, where there's just not good broadcast content, but there's great podcast content. So we want to open that up. The other thing is, we really think that by kind of working together, we can have aggregated selling power here, and we can lure some of the $70 billion that's currently going to broadcast TV and radio. We can lure that to our format, both for the people like us that provide search, as well as the podcasters. And by having aggregated selling power, we can all do very well. But that requires, like I said before, everyone opening up. So we think that's going to happen.
Well, we're here at podtech.net with Alex Latt, the president of Podzinger. Great insight, great product, and a good overview of the landscape on podtech.net. Thank you so much for the podcast.
Thanks, John.